its current state on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. In his State of the State address this January, Governor Rick Snyder announced he was releasing all of his emails from 2014 and 2015 related to the Flint water crisis.
So you will have answers to your questions about what we've done and what we're doing to make this right for the families of Flint. Anyone will be able to read this information for themselves at michigan.gov/Snyder. Because the most important thing we can do right now is to work hard and work together for the people of Flint.
But he didn't have to do that. Michigan is one of only two states that exempts the governor's office from Freedom of Information Act requests. And many journalists say the state's weak public records laws put a wrench in media's efforts to find the truth about the Flint water crisis. Here to talk about how the crisis is shaping the conversation about government transparency in the state is Ron Zwankowski, longtime columnist at the Detroit Free Press and a board member of the Michigan Council for Open Government. Ron, welcome to Current State.
Thanks for having us.
A recent report from the Center for Public Integrity ranked Michigan last in the nation when it comes to government transparency. Why?
Well, because there is nothing in state law that compels government officials to be open and accountable in two of the three branches of government, that is the executive and the legislative branches. Both of those are exempt from requests made under the Freedom of Information Act under the 1976 law that was passed in Michigan. It was written with an exemption for the governor, and then a subsequent attorney general's opinion sometime in the 80s said that that exemption should extend to the legislature as well. Further, the state elected officials have also over the years made it far more difficult for the public to get timely information about who's contributing to campaigns and how much money. Most of that information is not available to the public until after an election, so it's difficult for the public to find out who's bankrolling various officials or who's paying for various political ads. So on that basis, the Center for Public Integrity, which does an annual data-driven study, gave Michigan an F grade, ranked us dead last among the 50 states, and pointed out that this is a concern because it creates a climate that invites corruption. And that's not to suggest that there's any terrible corruption going on in Lansing right now, but the possibility of corruption is always there when you don't have an open government that must at some point be accountable to the public.
In addition to being one of the most opaque state governments, Michigan also earned the dubious honor of having the fewest ethical safeguards for government. What kind of problems does that create?
Well, I think, you know, it's human nature that we all behave differently, and generally I would suggest that we all behave better when we think that we're being watched or we know that there is a possibility of being watched. You know, it's no accident that video cameras are popping up all over the place these days because they tend to keep people on their better behavior. And so I think if you knew that as a public official, the decisions you made, the correspondence that you had, the emails that you exchanged, the minutes of meetings that you attended, that invitations, in fact, to those meetings, all of that had to, at some point, be accessible to the public, I think it would change the way you behave. And I would suggest that it would make you behave for the better, that your own interests might take a back seat to the interests of the public that you were elected to serve.
What role do you think the lack of government transparency played in the Flint crisis?
Well, I don't think it's an accident that most of what we know about the situation in Flint was exposed by journalists or by public information groups exercising what limited availability they have under the Freedom of Information Act. Very little of the bad news out of Flint was initially reported or distributed by government agencies involved. It was reported by the media, by public interest groups, and then government agencies reacted to those disclosures. So when government does things wrong, as is clearly the case in Flint, government is not likely to volunteer that information. And I think you're seeing, just this past week, reports in both the Detroit News, the Detroit Free Press, some other sources indicated that further information about when and who knew about the prospects or the increasing numbers of Legionnaires' disease cases in the Flint area, that is just coming to light, and what efforts were made to respond or conceal reaction to that. And so I think you have a situation where the government is continuing to not be forthcoming with information about what's going on in Flint, and you have journalists and public interest groups that have to continue to dig out the information and make it public.
Ron Zwankowski is a longtime columnist at the Detroit Free Press and a board member of the Michigan Council for Open Government. We're talking about how the lack of transparency, about the lack of transparency in Michigan's state government. I want to talk again about Governor Snyder's promise to release his 2014 and 2015 emails and how that may have related to the Flint water crisis. There have been a lot of Democrats who've criticized this as not being enough. Do you think the governor is making a good faith effort at transparency?
You know, I can't be sure. I would like to think so. I'd like to think that he's a man of his word, that he released, I believe it was 274 or so pages of emails. But there is nothing in the law that would enable me to find out if that's all the emails that were exchanged with the administration. I do know that there is a legislator from the Flint area who says that sometime around January, I believe, of 2015, he had correspondence with the governor about the water situation in Flint, and that correspondence was not included in the governor's email. So perhaps the governor released what he thought were all of his emails, but we don't have any way of verifying that. And he's indicated that he would be supportive of ending the exemption for the governor's office from the Freedom of Information Act. But I have real doubts that this legislature is ever going to send that bill to his desk.
Freedom of information requests are a really critical tool in a reporter's arsenal here. As a journalist who's been working in Michigan for a long time, how have news organizations had to adapt to working in a state with such exemptions for FOIAs of state government?
Well, I think in my 40 years in journalism in the state, what has tended to be practice is that reporters build relationships and develop sources which provide more information than what you can get, or in a more timely way than what you can get under the Freedom of Information Act, which can be both cumbersome and expensive. Now, to the governor's credit, last year he did sign a bill, the first significant reforms in the Freedom of Information Act in its history, that set a more reasonable fee schedule and set more timing restraints on government officials to respond to requests under FOIA. But in my experience, the stories that I've been involved in, and I'm thinking just off the top of my head of the resignation of the former Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick, that information was revealed by sources based on relationships cultivated by reporters rather than information that came available through the Freedom of Information Act. Now, that's not to suggest that the Free Press, where I worked for a long time, didn't use FOIA, but I think we also knew that FOIA would be, in many cases, a more cumbersome way to pursue information than trying to get it through, shall we say, a journalistic back door.
There's been a renewed discussion here now about changing the public records laws in the wake of the water crisis. How likely is it, do you think, that those efforts will make it through the state legislature? Could Flint be the straw that breaks the proverbial camel's back here?
I would like to think that if something good is to come out of something bad, which is sometimes the best thing you can hope for in a political situation, that the something good may be a renewed commitment to openness in government, especially in Lansing. But as somebody who covered the state capitol and had a lot of exchanges with legislators over the years, I can also tell you that they're a pretty self-serving bunch. And they've got a very nice loophole here that enables much of what they do to remain out of the public eye. So I guess I'm cynical enough over the years to think that it's very unlikely that this legislature is going to do anything more to make itself accessible and accountable to the public. I would like to think that they'd send a bill that's now pending to end the exemptions for the legislative and executive branches from FOIA. I'd like to think they'd send that bill to Snyder, and I'd like to think that he'd sign it. But I guess I'm more of a political realist than that. I just don't think it's going to happen, even with the Flint disaster in their faces.
Are there states that have good government transparency policies?
Well, the state that always was the one that we in Michigan sort of envied was Florida. It is the Sunshine State, I think, in more ways than one. It is among the states that was the first in the nation to make, for instance, courtrooms open and accessible to the public by allowing TV cameras in courtrooms. And Florida has always been a state with a strong commitment, I think, to what we call Sunshine, that is open government, and also among the first states to take a lot of public information and make that available online, which can, of course, save not just journalists, but the public, can save the public a lot of time and effort in obtaining information. So Florida is always the state that we look to, although I should add that in the latest Center for Public Integrity report, Florida, they ranked Florida just ahead of Michigan. Michigan got an F grade. Florida was a D. And I think the states that they looked upon most favorably were California, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island got the only sort of passing grades, I guess, in their assessment. Mm.
Ron Zwankowski is a longtime columnist at the Detroit Free Press and board member of the Michigan Council for Open Government. We've been talking about how Michigan's weak public record laws limit government transparency here in the state. Ron, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.